Welcome to On and Off the Field, podcasting with a purpose.
Rest assured, it's your boy Coach Boston. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go, here we go.
Steeler Nation.
You know it, baby.
It's Steeler Nation. You
know
it.
You know it.
And it's your boy, Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Coach Reback, a.k.a. the football protege, a.k.a. Mr. Football, Mr. YBL. Listen, we're in the building for another segment, man. What's going on, Coach?
Oh, man, living the dream, brother. Talking sports.
And life.
And life.
So, you know, we, purpose. We cover both sides of the ball, right?
That's right.
We cover both sides of the field here on and off the field. Listen, we got a special guest on me calling in a little while. It's one of your homeboys. It's your old friend.
I've known him for about 30 years, and he's a classic story of
Marcus Thomas.
Of off the field. Yeah, Marcus Thomas.
Shout out to Marcus Thomas.
Yep. Classic story of somebody who has struggled and didn't make it.
Wow. Yep. And didn't make it.
This is somebody who should have played
in
the NBA.
Did not make it. See, here's the thing about what we do on and off the field. Did you hear how he said a struggle of somebody that they struggled and did not make it. Not saying that he failed in life, but in this aspect that we're talking about,
right,
he didn't make it down this lane,
and
right?
At that moment, those choices derailed his NBA dream.
Which we're going to get to that part, too.
Correct.
So we got that coming up. So listen, before he called it, because I know he's going to call in a minute. So before he called in, look, let's update on the what we got, the NCAA tournament.
South Carolina, UConn.
Who we said, right?
We called it.
I think did we pick them?
I called them.
I think I called them from what? Did you go from the Elite Eight or Sweet 16? When did you pick UConn?
When I picked UConn, we asked, it was a Sweet 16 because North Carolina,
right,
was still in.
Sure was.
And I said, I got North Carolina because I'm a fan. But other than North Carolina, UConn was going to win it, I thought.
For the men. And we all picked South Carolina.
And I thought South Carolina was going to win from
the gate.
Yeah.
Do you think that, and it's funny you say that. So let me ask you this. Just two questions off the top that I'm going to ask. So having said that, we all knew South Carolina was going to win with the women, right?
I thought so.
So was LSU ever a consideration in your mind that they could win it, LSU?
LSU was in the mix. But, you know, obviously they lost to Iowa. But, I mean, they were in the mix. I mean, they were as good as anybody else. If they won the championship, I would not have been surprised.
Me either. The reason
I asked you. They were championship worthy.
Right. But we had all pre-selected South Carolina, though.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it was like, was Iowa ever a consideration to win it all?
Well, Caitlin Clark, of course. Of course.
You know what?
What she was doing, and she brought him to the championship last year, so you'd think that she was going to do it this year, especially with the year she was having.
So let me ask you this. Nobody ever brought up missing pieces. Like, Iowa, just 2 years in a row. They you got a scorer like Caitlin Clark.
They needed another option. Gosh, if they had a forward.
Maybe
forward
a big
score type option.
Down in the block.
Yeah, they needed another. The forwards and bigs they had were like, if they were wide open, they were going to make it. But
okay.
They weren't taking those side 10 footers.
Right. But they needed. But here's my thing, Coach, and I agree with you. They did need somebody scoring, but also they needed somebody on the other side of the court defensively because they small ball.
They needed a big.
They needed a big to block up the middle.
Yes. They were short.
They played teams like South Carolina, who was bigger than them,
right,
they had somebody kind of not. They weren't dominating the paint like that.
They can get away with it because they run and shoot threes so much.
But
when the threes aren't falling,
that it catches
game,
up with
and
them.
And the game goes into that half court
this
set.
This is what you get.
And you got Camila Cardoza down in the post,
killing you.
So that was the difference. Their game was the threes, and they weren't making them.
So they needed. Like you said, they were
missing another piece. Yeah, they were missing another
because they come up short.
Yeah,
and she torching them. Now, we spoke off air. Who was that guarded her to the tee? They kept her. They held her.
Raven.
No, which team that they? No, it was a bad call at the end. It was that was you. Was it that I would beat? The females, it was a bad call. It was a this
oh,
team
UConn,
had
UConn. UConn.
UConn played them to the tee.
UConn, yeah. UConn's
they
tough
were
too.
Switching with her on her.
Hey.
They kept her
people
down.
People were
to,
tired of hearing about UConn women, but UConn women was
championship worthy
too.
Bro, They really should have. That should. I felt like that was a bad call. The offensive call that they called at the end.
It was a bad call.
I think so. You should have called that at that time. Come on, bro. Yeah.
You got
to
let that
you
go.
You can't call that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, UConn is going to the Final Four.
Maybe so.
And we got a different. Maybe a different. Well, I don't think anybody could have beat South Carolina. No, I don't think so either.
South Carolina was undefeated. I mean, and only this year because of Caitlin Clark and the uprise of women's basketball is the reason why an undefeated South Carolina team goes under the radar, if you will. They should have been the top story all year.
Dawn Staley is underrated.
Much so. Very much so.
Is she the best female college coach right now?
She's the hottest one. Gotta say, yeah, by far.
So you said something off air too.
I like Kim Mulkey at LSU too.
I do too. Yeah. But you said something about Dawn Staley. You said, remember we spoke and you said, if you were the AD at Virginia, what would you do?
I'd break the bank and hire her right now.
Why?
She's an alma mater. She's an alumnus.
And she's from Philly, right?
She's from Philly. Okay. She's an alumnus of Virginia. So right. That would be coming home. And you have to think as an AD, you want one of your alumni making another program great?
Yeah.
Bring her home. Break the bank. You have, what is Virginia women's program about right now? What do you hear about them?
Right.
Are they on the map?
They're in the ACC, right?
They're in the ACC.
Both of them are. South Carolina and
South Carolina is in the SEC.
SEC.
And Virginia is in the ACC.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. But it would be closer to home, and it would be alumnus, and I would make her the highest paid coach in basketball, period.
You know, I think they're trying to do that now. I think they're trying to do that now with Dawn Staley. South Carolina is.
But why are you not in the mix, Virginia, to do the same thing?
Do you think
South Carolina is doing that ahead of anybody else making an offer?
Do you think that they're even considering that, Virginia?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not in the AD's department, but I know if I was the AD, I know that's what I would have done.
Wow.
By far.
So, how many championships does that give Dawn Staley?
I think there's three.
Yeah.
Three in like the last five, 6 years.
Right. Yeah. Because before that, UConn's women dominated.
UConn women
for consecutive years.
That's right.
Back to back. Nobody could beat
them.
When
Dawn Staley came on and Kim Mulkey, it was Kim Mulkey at Baylor and then now Dawn Staley at South Carolina, which basically kind of gave UConn its competition.
Dude, I know you saying if you were Virginia, you do this. But from Dawn Staley's standpoint, from her perspective, you got the key to the city.
You would have the key to the city in Virginia too.
But what do you think she'll move? I don't know, bro.
Well, I mean, that's her decision anyway. I'm just saying if I was the AD, I would make a strong
you would
pitch
have
to her. I mean, I would want her to lead my women's basketball program.
Because there has to be an incentive for her to leave South Carolina. It's not like
highest paid coach in basketball.
Too. I feel what you're saying, but like say the level of talent she's got, right? With the recruiting.
She can recruit anywhere.
But would you leave that though?
Virginia is as comparable a school to do recruiting as South Carolina.
Okay.
They have the facilities and the wherewithal to be anything just like South Carolina is right now.
Okay.
If Dawn Staley leaves, then South Carolina becomes Virginia and Virginia becomes South Carolina.
Okay.
Okay. That's how it's going to work. So if I'm the AD at Virginia, I would hire Dawn Staley, make her an offer she couldn't refuse.
That she couldn't refuse.
She can't refuse.
Okay. So, all right. All right. So on the men's side.
Oh, yeah. Coach Hurley. Oh, man, bro. UConn. Gosh. Dynasty.
Bruh.
Six out of six.
Like,
it's a dynasty.
It's a real dynasty. They tough, bro.
Tough.
You know.
Coach Hurley, man.
I'm going to say this. I thought NC State would have given. I'm gonna back up. Let's not talk about UConn for a second. Let's talk about NC State playing Purdue.
Yeah,
I thought that Big Burns was gonna get.
He looked out of shape and tired. He looked tired. Like I've seen big guys play, but he looked tired. He was like struggling to get up and down the court.
It didn't turn out like I thought. Yeah. I thought he was going to give them more problems down low.
No, he looked like he was a step slow, like he had been out all night. And I'm not saying he was, but he didn't he look tired? He didn't have that same bounce in his step that he had.
He got to get one, bro.
Yeah, he didn't. He get and a the flag guards, on the guards that they heavily relied on, they were, you know, they were missing their shots.
Merlin Vaughn, right.
So, you know, combination of the two and then Zach Edey down low, that was it.
Edey, bro.
Edey was crushing him. Edey was crushing him.
Edey let him know, hey, I'm down here, bro.
He dominated the post.
Dominated. I thought he was going to break him down. I thought Burns was going to break him down. I think he was going to get him in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. We both thought that.
I thought if, well, we didn't know which Burns came to play.
Big fella, I think big fella gave it all he could down the stretch, and they caught up with it.
Like, you got to remember, NC State was like, I think, a 500 team.
Right, they were Cinderella story. Yeah. We can't forget.
I mean, they had to win them all the tournament games to make it to the ACC championship. So they had to play in the ACC championship.
Now you see why he burned out.
Yeah, he was just big fella. And I'm sure they celebrated and Final Four, you know, and the change and travel and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
She just wore them down. I mean, that was it. You could tell in their shots they were coming up short, and that means you're tired.
What year is this for Burns? You know?
I'm not sure, but I want to say he has another year of eligibility.
What you think he looking like? He'll be devastating in the NBA. Yeah, he got to get in shape. I think he will, though.
Well, that's up to him.
Yeah.
If he wants it, he's got to get in shape.
He'll do good at the next level, though.
And touch, he could play at the NBA level. Got to get in shape.
Got to get in shape.
Got to get in
shape. You keep saying that, Coach.
Because it matters.
It does.
What we talk about, off the field? If you want to play in the NBA, Burns, you got to get in shape.
Off the field.
Yes. That's it.
You can't eat the pork chops and all that all the time.
You
can't. Shout out.
You got to watch your diet. You got to get in shape. You got to get
your cardio up.
Get yourself in the gym.
The cardio.
Work out. Yeah.
I think the cardio caught up with Big Daddy.
Oh, man. You see, he was winded.
He was.
He was. You saw it. You saw.
Oh, my goodness.
He looked winded to me.
Yeah, he was tired. He was tired, bro.
Yeah.
They had him kind of dish ragged at the end. He was on dish rag not that end, so yeah. But listen, so with back to the champions, UConn.
Yeah.
They dog walked them though.
Man,
they didn't even
was tough.
They didn't stand a chance. They dog walked Purdue, bro.
UConn was tough. Look, I'm from Jersey, and Bob Hurley's dad, Bob Hurley Sr.
Right.
Is a legendary high school coach in New Jersey.
Okay.
Legendary. Won national championships. And so Bobby comes up and he's a hell of a player, right?
Right.
Plays at Duke, plays in the NBA. That hardcore coaching style made him a great player.
Okay. I agree with that.
But Danny had issues.
Yeah.
He didn't have the success that Bobby had.
Yeah.
He had some, you know, counseling issues. He, you know, wanted to quit basketball.
Right.
The thing that I think that makes him a great coach is that he's giving his players what his dad couldn't get, did not give to him. Was that you give them that toughness, that
mm-hmm.
tough love,
mm-hmm.
but you got to know that they, you know, that I love you.
Right.
You got to know that they're there for you too.
Right.
And you got to be, you got to break them down, but you got to build them back up too.
You can't be like Bobby, that coach, that crazy coach, Bobby,
Uzu.
The other basketball, crazy basketball coach, I can't think of his
Rick
name.
Pitino?
No, Bobby, the one that was, Jordan mentioned him all the time. I can't remember his name. He was a hard-nosed coach, man. Bobby, I can't remember his name.
Bobby
anyway,
Knight.
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight.
Crazy.
Yeah, the general.
He was tough.
But at the end, you know, it was all toughness and no love, and the players lost respect.
That's exactly why I brought him up, because you brought up being tough, but you got to bring him back, too. You can't beat him down.
That's what makes him
Bobby
such a
Knight,
great coach.
I've seen Bobby Knight put hands on jokers.
And like that's what makes Danny Hurley such a good Danny, he wanted to choke him. Bobby Knight wanted to choke him.
Bobby Knight. That's me doing it on purpose. All right. So we figured you kind of be who we, you know.
Yeah, they look good.
So everything unfolded like we thought.
They look real good. Dominating.
So real quick, NBA update, man. I want to get an NBA update. real quick.
Who you watching?
That's what I'm asking you. Who you got? Who you got your eye on?
I like Philly now. With Embiid is back.
I saw Embiid first game back.
Embiid looked when he came good. Back.
He did. He needed good. To get a little bit out of shape, which he hadn't played in.
He hadn't played and just had surgery. Sheesh. So the fact that he's playing.
But he looked good.
He looked smooth. Big man, I don't know if I would have came back this soon, though.
I know.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's like his whole health. True, you early. Know, and he's such a big guy, you know, and the awkwardness of the fall with his knees.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he's ready
for that.
Set
him back worse.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if he's going to last, bro.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting.
What you think about Milwaukee? Well, let me say this. I didn't mean to cut your wisdom while you think about the question.
No doubt.
You said one time that Milwaukee needed something. They were missing a piece.
They needed a glue guy. Somebody that
got the flow.
Somebody that can do the dirty work and get stuff done for them. Like I had said, what if Draymond Green went to the Milwaukee Bucks? It would be the perfect fit.
Look, you know I was waiting on you to bring his name up, right?
The neck kicker.
The infamous serial neck kicker. Draymond Green. Don't you get around him, Jack.
But tell me, what do they need? What are they lacking?
That's
wouldn't
what
Draymond
saying.
Give him that? Leadership. He would give them some sort of leadership because obviously you've got Giannis and Lillard. So he's got two veterans that can kind of rein him in a little bit.
So
you got to respect the Doc Rivers.
Right.
And right now they don't have that get dirty player.
Do you think they need him strictly for defensive and rebound purposes?
Absolutely. But
at one point Draymond Green started scoring.
Draymond Green takes his points, and that's what makes him a
kind of
garbage
player. Points.
He takes his points when he gets his points.
Right. Kind of crumbs.
But what he's out there for, and he knows it, is offensive rebound, defensive rebound,
clog that middle up.
Passing, screens,
right.
Making sure everything goes right.
Yeah, high screen, pick and roll.
Diving. He's the glue.
Right.
He's that glue guy.
Now, he does a hell of a high pick and roll now.
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine?
With him and Steph?
Again, with Lillard.
With Damon.
That's what I said. What if Draymond Green went to the Milwaukee Bucks? That's what they need. It's not that Doc Rivers is a bad coach or anything else. It's they're missing that one person.
Bruh, you got me stuck on Draymond and Dame on the high pick and roll.
Man.
And Dame coming out.
Same shot, different uniform.
Do you put Lillard? Well, no, he's not close to. He's a shooter like Steph, but he's not a shooter like Steph.
There's only one Steph.
Only one Steph. This is our call in. What's going on now, Mr. Marcus Thomas?
How you doing, sir?
I am wonderful, sir. I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm amazing.
Welcome to On and Off the Field, man.
MT, 1083.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Listen, you know, we got that music bumping in the back. That might remind you of that Memphis, man. You hear that music?
That's our theme music.
That's that theme music, man.
We rock stars.
Man. What's up, man? Listen, dog, I was just telling him when we were talking and we was telling the people that you were coming on, and the listeners, he was just telling him a little bit about you. And we're gonna dive right in there. But I was telling him before, I'm going to preface it with this, bro. And I'm going to give you this. You are Memphis as far as I'm concerned, bro. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that, big dog.
What's the name of the title? Thanks. What's the name of this podcast?
The name of the podcast is, the name of this segment is The Marcus Thomas Story, Memphis. That's the name of this one, bro. So it's dead. Yeah, because you listen, bud, and we're gonna dive into some things. And but let me break the ice with this. I gotta get you know. First of all, LB.
We on right now, brother.
We've been popping for about 30 minutes. So listen, I want to start with this because I let LB tell his first, and then I want you to tell us what yours is. We always start with your favorite NFL team and why. So I want LB, I want Lance to start with his. What's your favorite NFL team and tell us why?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. In 1976, my dad took me to a New York Giants football game. He played for the Giants. And so he took me to my first football game.
McKinley Boston.
McKinley Boston.
Shout out to McKinley Boston.
So we go to the game, and the Giants are playing the Steelers. And the backstory is I'm colorblind, so I couldn't see colors at all at that time. Mm-hmm. So in the game, the Steelers come out the tunnel. They come to the locker room. I'm like, wow, look at the black and gold uniforms. I'm 6 years old, tripping over the black and gold uniforms.
You're supposed to be there for the Giants, bro.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. I'm like, yo, so I'm like, that made me a fan right there. So
you traded on Pops.
I traded on Pops for the Steelers. Giants are my second favorite team.
Let me ask you this real quick before we go, before we let Marcus tell his. What did your dad say? What did Pops say when you
He was cool. He never tripped. He never tripped about me following the Steelers.
Now, see, is your dad still a diehard
He watches Giants the Steelers, too, and he watches the Giants.
Okay, so he kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
He knows my love for the Steelers, so he supports that.
All right. So look, Mr. Thomas, Marcus, what's your favorite NFL team and why? Tell us why.
Well, my favorite team are the Steelers also.
Okay, so I got two Steeler Nation people here.
Yeah, man, we're going to keep it 100.
Why is that your team?
Growing up in Memphis, man, we had two teams, Cowboys and Steelers. So you had to pick, man. You had to pick early. You got to know early in life in Memphis, you know. And I picked the Steelers. And my grandmama ordered that Steeler coat from that JCPenney catalog. And, you know, when they get it from the catalog, you
Facts.
Know, it's coming straight to you.
Facts.
You
know that's the real deal right there, that JCPenney. Yeah, you remember the JCPenney catalog, that big thing catalog, right? Man.
Right next to the Sears catalog.
That's right, right next to the Sears one. So
and the Montgomery Ward.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And I had the Steeler one, and my little cousin, he's a Cowboy diehard fan right now, and he had Cowboy.
So and listen, I got to say this, because this I like to talk about regions. You mentioned, you said living in Memphis, you had two teams that y'all chose from, Dallas
right.
or Pittsburgh.
Right.
Now, I got to ask this question. Why were they the two teams? Why wasn't it just name? I mean, why wasn't it somebody else? I'm just asking.
Well, you got to look at the demographics.
That's what I want to hear.
At noon, the regional game, are the Steelers at noon? They come on at 12.
Oh.
So we got to hurry up and get home from church. You know. You know, growing up in Memphis, you got to go to church too.
Right. That's it. I love it. And I got to shout out. Yeah. Shout out to Mama them. Yeah. Mama them always made you go to church.
Yeah, you at church.
Shout out to Mama them, man. Mama them, the Memphis mamas.
Yeah. Yeah, so speaking of mamas, real quick, I want to send a shout out to my grandma. She's not really doing too well, but she's in there. She's still with us.
Wow, and shout out to Grandma, bro.
Shout out.
And, shout out to Grandma for that, bro.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. No doubt.
So, you know, it was a certain time at noon. The Steelers came on at noon. Cowboys come on at 3. So
that's
you got
crazy,
two teams to watch, you know, in our area. You know,
hey, let me ask you this. Game. Let me ask you this. Who's your favorite Steeler of all time?
All time has to be Lynn Swann. Ooh. And it's personal for me.
I love it.
Because in my neighborhood in Memphis right now, those who are listening can tell you that my nickname in the hood was called Baby Swann.
Baby Swann. Could you explain why, please, sir?
Because I never dropped one.
Nasty work.
That's nasty work,
Marcus.
So street football Memphis legend, too.
Oh, no question. No question about it.
So look, and so that's your favorite player of all time?
Oh, no question. Lynn Swann. Mr. Lynn Swann. Who's yours? I would love to be him.
Who's yours, coach?
Mean Joe Green.
Mean Joe Green.
Yeah. Mean Joe Green.
You got the his jersey too.
Of course.
Yeah, man.
I got his jersey, I got his t-shirt.
Look,
I got
y'all don't understand. These dudes, when I say Steeler Nation, like they for real, bro. Y'all, if y'all listen, these dudes
it's
are for
lifestyle.
Real about it.
It's a lifestyle.
It's not
it's
just a Sunday thing, it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Oh, it's a lifestyle.
You can pull up on Coach at Coach Career 9. He got a sofa and it's got a Pittsburgh Steeler towel. I ain't never seen no towel that big. Stretched across the couch, man. He got Steeler memorabilia everywhere.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
That's crazy, bro. So let me ask y'all this real quick. And then this is just me. I got to ask this because here's my opinion. I think that Lynn Swann and John Stallworth made Terry Bradshaw who he is. That's just my opinion.
Right.
It helped to have two great receivers. I mean, but he was a good quarterback. He wasn't no scrub. Right. Terry Bradshaw did what he had to do. He didn't have to be the the all American that guy. He had to do what he had to do.
Did get he the ball. The game?
He had to manage the game, but he made plays too. He made plays.
Okay, cool.
Stay in there and be tough. I mean,
Bradshaw made some plays.
Think about Kenny Pickett playing on that team. His body. Think about his body. And his
I would have loved to have Bradshaw this year.
Yeah. We need a tough quarterback. Right. And we need a guy like Terry Bradshaw.
I'd have loved to have Bradshaw this
year. That's why Big Ben was so good, bro. Because he could take that lick and keep on ticking, bro.
He was
Big Ben, Big Ben was thorough, bro.
Big Ben was thorough.
That's right. Yeah. And when he was off, but he was durable.
Right.
Right.
And that's what you want these days.
And he was a leader. He was a leader. He can make the plays when you need it.
That's the only quarterback.
The money plays.
Big Ben, the only quarterback I know that can pat the ball 10 times and then five people to come swat it, and he won't even go out of hand, bro. He hold on to that. Big Ben hold on to that ball, bro. You be so nervous. You be like, that joker, but he ain't gonna fumble.
He ain't gonna fumble that ball.
That joker would pump fake it five times, and the camera be gone, and the Big Ben still got the ball in his hand.
He trying, man. He trying to make something happen.
That's right.
Big Ben trying to make something happen.
Shout out to Big Ben, man.
It's a big money play. That's why they call him Big Ben. Big money. Listen,
I got to go with this question right here. We're going to run to some sports questions right quick. I got to ask you this. Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Russell Wilson right now until we hear something different.
So let me ask you this. When they come out of practice and they go in the locker room, who wins in the shower, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson?
I'm going with Sierra because she might be there.
Oh! He said Sierra.
Yeah.
So she Russell.
Might be around, so, you know, you hang out with Russell more than anything.
So listen, so you originally from Memphis, right?
Yes, I am from Memphis.
Okay, all right. Now, where you living at now?
So I live in Minnesota, but as of Christmas, my mother fell, and she broke her hip.
Okay.
So I'm here really assisting, living with her here in Memphis right now.
Okay.
But your home is in Minnesota.
I live in Minnesota.
But
yes,
you're
yes,
originally
yes.
from Memphis, but you moved.
Originally from Memphis.
Moved to Minnesota.
Moved to Minnesota, but I moved back here for the last 6 months and just trying to help out and be here. And, you know, we were raised in church. We were raised to take care of family, too. And basketball and sports is a family.
Right. Right.
And
okay.
So you learn those things and then you apply them to your life.
Right. That's good.
That's right.
So what are your thoughts on South Carolina beating Iowa?
You know, to be honest, I like Dawn Staley and her team, and I think that's the total team concept. I mean, that's what you want to see. You see a talented coach, former player, but you see how those kids respond.
Right.
And 38-0, I mean, I didn't expect them to lose.
We was talking about that earlier. And I'm going to say this to you. Same thing I kind of said to Coach. And I'm going to ask this question. Because, you know, we had the contenders were South Carolina, LSU, Iowa, UConn with the women's. Was that ever a time where you considered LSU possibly winning it all over South Carolina?
South Carolina has the best team.
Okay.
When you look at the team, it's like a machine, and it goes and it goes and it goes, and she changes players.
Right.
And then you have to give Dawn Staley her flowers because it's hard sometimes to coach that team concept. But when you look at Dawn Staley, the motion picked up, the momentum picked up. Those girls won all those games.
Right.
Yeah. And you can look at the coaching part. You can look at how she guided it. I mean, you know, they say coaching's easy, but I don't know. Dawn Staley's she's a heck of a coach.
That's right.
I think, of course, we can all agree, player coaches are the best coaches. I don't care what sport you play, basketball, football.
And particularly the point guard.
Right.
Particularly point guard. That's why Kim Mulkey and her are two of the better coaches in college basketball.
And what's his name, for the coach for Golden State?
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr. Good coach, bro.
Yeah.
Look at the players experience coach. He had. Players coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I said this, Marcus, I said this to Coach off air. I said Dawn Staley is underrated.
Yes, very much so.
We said very that, much yeah.
So. I mean, we all agree. She could really coach a guy's team.
Wow.
You could trust her. Hey, seriously.
So let me ask.
Now let's.
Hold tight.
I know you ready to go. I know you ready to go.
We had this question.
Hey, Marcus.
We had this question.
I posed this.
We had this question. Could Dawn Staley coach at Kentucky?
Dawn Staley, I was about to say, could go straight to Kentucky right now. I would tell you, I would send my son there.
You mean the men's Kentucky team?
Coach Calipari is going to go to Arkansas.
I would match him with Dawn Staley and show that he left something on the table.
Calipari?
Wow!
Come on, Dawn Staley. Wait a minute now.
She would have the respect of the men. She would have the respect. I would send my son. But listen, I was going to say on a whole nother level, she could go to the NBA.
Absolutely, Dawn Staley could.
And
she's better than a lot of those coaches that are coaching in the NBA right now.
And the reason why I'm not going to say the WNBA, because I expect the WNBA to have her next season.
Hold on, Marcus, she's big enough to coach on the men's side. You just brought up something because LB said this, and it's in the same vein. He said that if he was the AD for Virginia, he would break the bank to get Dawn Staley
at her house in the driveway right now.
Yeah.
If I was him, I'd be there right now.
That's his alumnus. I mean, she's an alumni of Virginia.
She's home.
But that's home, Marcus.
But you're going to lose her to the dollars. Now, listen, and the reason why I say this is because think about the Vegas team. I gotta match their intensity. How do you beat that Vegas team? Dawn Staley. Think about the WNBA right now. Think about it. And guess who will be her first pick? Where she goes? She gets Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
Well, Vegas got a coach. She ain't going nowhere.
I'm talking about another team to match Vegas intensity. You have to take Dawn Staley.
Oh, right. Correct. That's correct.
And draft Caitlin Clark to that team also.
I got you.
That's how you beat Vegas.
Correct.
You have to match their intensity.
Right. If she goes to WNBA. And if she goes to college, she could go Virginia, women. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think she could take Kentucky's job.
But here's the thing, Marcus.
Yeah. But hold up. Let me tell you what's something that's bigger than everything that we're talking about. We're discussing Dawn Staley.
Right.
Right.
Over all sports right now.
Wow.
And that's big. And we're skipping over men's sports in general.
Right.
We're talking about her position in sports right now as a coach. And I think that's big. So hats off to her.
Shout out to Dawn Staley. But here's why we're talking about it though. Because I mentioned this to Coach. A few years ago, UConn did the same thing South Carolina doing now. UConn women. They were dominating the basketball. So now they were the talk of the town then. She should be the talk of the town right now, Dawn Staley, because of what she's done, man. Undefeated, bro.
Undefeated.
And there was never, I think at the beginning
and
of the season.
And would have went undefeated last year.
Facts.
If Caitlin Clark didn't go crazy, she did. Yeah.
You can't discount that, bro.
She's a great coach.
Right.
So having said that, and I'm going to get off of that after this. Why does she leave South Carolina then? To go, I mean, this.
It's like Taylor Swift. You wasn't a Swiftie, but now you are. People say if you're not a Swiftie, like, what's wrong with you? So you think about Dawn Staley on a whole nother level as a person, as a coach. You want her around. Hey, I want Dawn Staley. If I have a lawn service, I just want her to show up so people want to get their grass cut. You know what I'm saying? I want John Daly. If I'm selling ice cream, give me two scoops of Don Staley, man. That's the flavor I want, you know?
Right.
She's everywhere, and if you're smart, you want a little bit, you want some of that to rub on you, man.
Right.
You want that's that good around stuff. You know? And her era, I mean, you can, I'm outside right now. I can smell Don Staley right now. I can smell her right now. Hey, she's everywhere, man.
They need to pay her. They need to pay her.
That's right. That's right.
I would.
Break the bank.
If you done, do you stay in South Carolina, man? You don't know what she's thinking. I know.
I think you take the money. Go somewhere and take the money.
Virginia, though. Virginia, you got to step up. Nobody from Virginia, like.
I'm saying if I was the AD, I don't know if the AD's even done this yet. So I don't, he's got to, I don't know what he's thinking.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Mark, let me ask you real quick. If you was a GM and you got the first pick, who you taking first? Caitlin Clark or Camilla Cardoza?
Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
You got to take Caitlin.
Caitlin.
You gotta
I agree.
You got to take Caitlin, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's the best shooter, right?
I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm looking at it like this. She got the best skills, but I want to sell tickets. And I want to sell tickets for the next 10 years.
Right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So Marcus.
How did
you get started in basketball? Tell us about the history of Memphis in basketball, man. And I know that's a loaded question. And I even want to talk about the challenges, you know, growing up in Memphis.
Well, Memphis, man.
So how you get started in basketball first?
Yeah, in Memphis, well, it's like going to church, like we said earlier. You know, it was something that was right there. The Bible, the churches, the Cadillac, you know what I'm saying? And around basketball is right there. And I was fortunate and blessed to be able to play at a high level at a young age. Being 12 and 13 years old, we played for the high-power AAU teams, Bellevue Baptist Church.
Shout out to the AAU team. I got to pause you right there, Marcus, because I was telling Coach, man, the AAU, I never knew how pivotal the AAU was as far as what it did to help transition young men. I never knew that. And I'm being honest. I never knew the impact it had. And really, when we had our phone call before, Coach told me about it too, but you really shined a light on it when you were telling me, because you've been in the trenches with it, bro.
Right.
So shout out to the AAU team.
Yeah, shout out, because those guys, they found the raw talent. You know, nowadays, you know, you think about it, kids know how to play the game, but do they take time to practice the game? Kids don't practice no more.
Wow.
You know, when we grew up, we practiced all week and you played a tournament every other week. Now they just play tournaments.
It's almost like you brought up church in conjunction with basketball. let me say this.
Yeah.
It's like basketball was just as necessary as church.
That's right. It's a religion. Football.
I like that, Marcus. Yeah. I like that, bro.
Now or later.
Oh! He said you want to be better. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, we know, everybody knows God is the greatest, right? But what I'm saying, though, synonymous to make that comparative like that, because Memphis, it's mandatory for you to hit the court. You know what I'm saying? It's mandatory, you know what I'm saying, for you to get that round ball there. You know, it's mandatory. And like you said,
it's a lifestyle.
And what was the name of the spot that everybody gathered at in Memphis? Kind of like Rucker Park, but what was it in Memphis?
Well,
what was that?
Well, let me tell you, it's a few spots, so I'm glad you asked me that. So I'm going to pay homage to a couple Memphis guys on a major scale that I grew up watching in the different neighborhoods where I grew up.
Okay.
So we had a guy, Lawrence Castle. His nickname is Dr. Bubba.
Okay.
He played with a guy named James Madison. His name is Master Blaster. Played for Kentucky in 1982. He was first round pick, went to Kentucky. I played under a guy named LaFester Rose.
Okay.
He went to Manassas High. He went to Iowa State. And I think he did a 60-minute piece on reading at a fifth grade level.
Okay.
And making it through college. Lakeith Humphrey, Elliot Perry. played for Memphis State, wore goggles.
Wore goggles. I remember him.
I remember Elliot Perry.
Yeah. Elliot Perry from my neighborhood. That's
when Larry Finch was a coach.
Wow.
That's right. Philip Doom Haynes.
Yeah.
Played for Memphis State. He only shot the ball off the backboard. He only shot bang shots. If you look at his footage on YouTube right now, he played with Andre Turner, Keith Lee, William Bedford, those guys. And my friend Kenny Thomas, all-time lead scorer, Manassas High, and Cleophas Hayes Jr., my point guard, who then went to Jackson State, was all-time assist guy.
Wow.
These guys, Ben Parnell, Ernest Smith, played for Memphis State. In our neighborhood, and Todd Day, that went to Arkansas. Roland Ware went to Oklahoma.
Right.
I'm naming off all Americans. And these are guys who are like 15, 16 years old, 17 years old. And I'm 12, I'm 13, I'm 14, I'm 15. But I understand that I'm not at that level.
Right.
I'm looking at these guys. So every year, I'm seeing these guys get better. I'm seeing these guys go away and play Division I basketball. I see these guys. So growing up in Memphis, just like going to church following the scriptures, I was following the ballers too. You know what I mean?
So what was the spots where you got baptized at?
Dave Wells Community Center.
Dave Wells.
Green Dog Community Center. Ha.
So this is where you got baptized at, huh?
Oh, man. Don't be scared. Put your hands up because it might be a stick up. But hand down, man down is the real thing in Memphis. When you think about Memphis, you think about the big guys, Ron Hurey, Penny Hardaway. You think about the big guys, Todd Day, that can shoot.
Right, right.
Kids from Memphis love to shoot the long ball. Lakee Humphrey, Maurice Cannon.
So now you're naming these guys. I got to ask this question. Are these the guys that you played against in junior high? Like
I played against these guys in high school and in junior college. Now in junior high school, there was a guy named Danny McMillan and Chris Elliott.
Okay.
Chris Elliott was recruited by Louisville by Denny Crum.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was recruited since eighth grade from Denny Crum, Louisville Fighting Birds. They recruited Chris as an eighth grader. He's a year younger than I am.
Okay.
And so Chris Elliott also is a McDonald's All-American class of 90 and 91.
Okay.
Who were the toughest in junior high school? Who were the toughest you played?
Chris Elliott.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He played with us. Rest in peace. His nickname is Silk.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Silk,
bro.
Yeah, and they're gonna do a mural of this guy in the neighborhood. They're going to put one up, and it's going to be beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to him, bro.
Yeah.
Shout out to him, bro. That's fire. I got to ask you this because I want to move past it. What kind of struggles did you have growing up in Memphis?
I mean, in Memphis, man, what
kind of challenges you had?
You know,
that's
growing
it.
Up in
you
the hood.
You can use that word.
Yeah, in the hood. And then you become a part of some of the things that's going on in the neighborhood. You're hanging out a little too late, you know?
Right.
And I started selling drugs.
You did?
I did.
What made you do that?
I thought that I wanted to look a certain way. And I needed the kind of money to be able to exist. I wanted to
Is that what you
be
thought?
Seen.
Is that what you thought?
That's what I thought.
Okay. So it basically, because you would think that, did you ever think about the fact that, and do the average kid or the average young man growing up in Memphis, you got to go this trek to be successful, but you got to be patient with it. So basically you said the word choices. You had the choice to either pursue 100% basketball, like you said, committed, but then this kind of knocked you off your, a bad choice knocked you off your path, right?
You know, the part we tell young people now that you're worth more, you're more valuable. Understand because of your surroundings, you don't have to be this or that. You can be something special. The trap for me is that I watched people sell drugs and I thought that I was better than that. I thought I could sell drugs better.
Wow.
I lied to myself to believe that I know what I was doing was wrong, but that I'm not going to get caught.
So the consistencies of like you said, the religion of basketball, right? So I'm picturing in my mind in Memphis, the average kid waking up like basketball on your mind after all you eat your long. Cheerios and your Frosted Flakes or whatever you eat, your Captain egg Crunch. Sandwich, Captain Crunch.
You run like, to the
you
gym.
You going to the either the either the gym or you going to the or park, the park, or you know what I'm saying? Right. Or you got a basketball goal in your driveway. But what I'm saying is,
I got a milk crate. I got a milk crate in my driveway.
So it's like that needs to be the magnet to keep you on the course to where you don't deviate. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like in every city, you got a lot of challenges.
That's the challenge.
That's right. But see, one of the things that kept pulling me back in was that I could see the results of the older guys. I could see the Elliott Perrys, the Todd Days. I know these guys.
So that was successful is what you're saying.
Yes. I'm watching those guys go up the ladder.
Okay. Okay.
And it's much love and it's much respect. Because I know if I stay the course, I'm going to follow in those shoes. I'm around the same people. I'm playing for the same AAU powerhouse teams that they're playing for.
Right.
I'm just playing for the 15U. They're playing for the 18U.
Wow. You literally so following the in their footsteps.
But you not.
I'm on the trip with them, but I'm 15.
Wow.
But didn't you eventually win the championship?
Yes, we do. When I got to 16 and under, playing under those guys, remember now, they've been beating us up since we were like 13, 14 years old.
Right.
So now we're 16. Penny Hardaway, Randy Carter, Terry Alexander, Anthony Douglas, Billy Smith, all-Americans. And we're all-Americans on this team. We've been handpicked. We beat Damon Bailey, finally.
Was he out of Indiana? He was in Indiana, right?
Indiana Municipal. We beat those guys. Eric Montrose, Allen Henderson.
Eric Montrose. I remember Eric Montrose.
Yeah, 7 foot.
What about the Detroit squad?
Detroit.
Chris Webber.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the Detroit Super Friends. A powerhouse. We played them 19 under in Florida.
Did y'all beat them?
We lost to Chris Webber in triple overtime.
Hey, was he a beast, bro? Was he a beast?
He had 50-some. He gave us 50.
I mean, you
50 piece.
How many you had?
With no biscuits. Just 50 piece. No biscuits. No biscuits.
Hey,
no coleslaw. No gravy.
Was Webber, was he a beast, bro?
Yeah. Yeah, all of that. He gave you all of that. He could put it on the floor. He could shoot. He could pump fake and drive. He was like it looked like a European that just came out of nowhere because he could play like a European. He could take the Euro.
Wow.
He could shoot the shot. He could post.
That's funny that you would bring that up because real quick, talent is what we're born with, right?
Yeah.
Skill set is what we're taught.
Well, I think when we talked about the kids nowadays, they don't practice the game. They just play the game. When you look at a young Chris Webber, when I played against that guy, you could tell he was practicing his game.
How was his skill set? That's what I wanted to ask you about.
It was at a 10. It was at a 10.
And
like
that was
a young Tim Duncan.
Oh, my goodness, bro. Let me stop for a second. You shouldn't have brought up Tim Duncan because I believe that I know Tim Duncan is he didn't get the credit he deserved. That dude got five rings.
Well, he's big time. He's one of the best forwards in the game.
One of the best forwards ever played.
But he was a bounce pass back. But he was San Antonio. The Spurs beat you with basic fundamental basketball. They weren't flashy.
They had a great team.
They were not flashy. Right. The most flashy thing about the Spurs was Tony Parker, the guard they had. Right.
The only thing I seen flash in San Antonio was the champagne bottle.
Exactly. And that was because they were basic skill teams, beat you with a bounce
fundamentals.
Pass. Put Duncan to put you on the blocks, on his hip.
That's what they call him, the big fundamental.
And then before him, it was the general.
David Robinson. Yeah.
Bruh, I met David Robinson in Pensacola.
Is that right?
Yes. Because I was in the Navy. He was in the Navy. I met David Robinson in Pensacola.
Oh, wow. What was that like?
It was crazy. That dude is tall. But I met him. But I was bringing that up, you know, because the skill set is like, and I guess that's developed too when you play too, naturally.
Well, winning doesn't have to always look flashy.
Right.
Winning can just be winning. And that's what we have to probably get back to young people now and tell them. YouTube is okay, but when we're playing basketball, we're trying to win games.
Right.
Gotcha. And it may not look like you want to do a YouTube video. It might not look like that. Right. We have to get back to the basics and get our guys here in America back to practicing the game.
So let me
can't always just go play.
So let me get your opinion on Memphis being a hotbed for talent. How does it, you think it compares to New York, L.A., Chicago, D.C.?
There was a time where we had Division I coaches that would sleep in the parking lots in all the AAU tournaments I played in.
Why?
The Mike Krzyzewski's.
You mean
the Nola Richardson?
They were trying to
Pat
get talent.
Kennedy,
is that why?
Wade Houston sleep in the vehicles. Do
trying
you understand?
Get, is that because they were trying to recruit?
Yes, because if they sleep at the hotel, they're going to miss the guy.
Wow.
So they were sleeping in their cars.
Did he mention Bobby Knight? You mentioned Bobby Knight, did you?
No, I didn't say Bobby Knight.
Okay.
But I said everybody else.
Okay, I got you.
You know, and I mean, John Thompson even got a kid. Kevin Millen, he got a kid out of there in 91. So that's how hot Memphis was.
Hey, John Thompson,
a
goat,
bro. John Thompson was cold.
Yeah, and he was in Memphis getting kids.
God.
So, you know, and Penny Hardaway brought that, Todd Day brought that, Ron Hurey brought that, Sylvester Gray, Marvin Alexander. I can't take no credit for it. I just was in the right place at the right time.
So all of these guys that you know, because you named all of them, and you kept naming, you named Penny Hardaway a few times, right?
Yeah.
So you running with these guys, you're in this bunch, you're in this vein of going to success, right? At what point, because you brought up choices again, at what point did your choices cause your success to deviate and then you watch them go on? At what point did that happen?
You know, the older you get, the more you start to understand that this turns into a business.
Okay.
People start to invest their time and energy. Trainers are involved. Coaches are involved.
Okay.
And being a young person sometimes, you don't really know your self-worth.
Okay.
You don't know that.
Right.
And because you don't know your self-worth, you may be not approaching the situation the right way.
Okay.
You're not as focused as you should be.
Okay.
And then I start to understand when there was no crowd anymore around me. I start to understand that people left and start to go home. Because they start to understand that I wasn't worth maybe that next investment.
Okay.
And that next investment was big money.
All right. But
so
were
you getting recruited at this point?
Right.
Well, what did you say now?
Were you getting recruited at this point?
I was getting recruited at a high level, but what happened, the grades came out. The rumors came out. And the scary thing is you can't run from who you are.
I got to ask you, what you mean rumors? I got to ask.
Well, selling drugs?
I'm selling drugs. He parties. He hangs out.
Okay.
Do you want this guy? He's a great player, but do you really want this guy? Do you want to invest? Well, we're about to invest in these other guys. Do we want to invest that? And so that's how I went to junior college in Memphis, because the legend Bertie Sells, who coached at Shelby State, he was Larry Finch's coach in high school. So he was a legendary junior college coach, but he was my AAU coach. So 19 under, I beat Penny and those guys.
Okay.
And then he saw my true talent right in that space. And he said, hey, man, I need you at the junior college. I need you.
So you went from.
And I needed him.
So when you were at the junior college, I know you had mentioned you went to Arkansas for a little while. Was it from there?
Yes.
So
yes.
So tell us, now this is what I've heard now, that Corliss Williamson, who's NBA, an NBA great, won a championship at Arkansas, has a nickname called Big Nasty, right? And I thought it was because of his style of play.
Oh, man.
Can you tell me something about that? Is that true?
Corliss, if you're listening, it's Marcus Thomas, man. Corliss ain't called me. And, you know, we were all hanging out, and we would play pickup. We would play pickup games amongst the guys. And Corliss always, you know, got up and he didn't wear socks. His shorts were a little maybe too tight sometimes.
Oh, man.
And so we gave him a nickname and said, hey, man, you look, you know, nasty. And we would say that to him, you know, nasty. And to be honest, he never liked it, man. But, you know, we had fun with it. He would laugh sometimes, but that's how they got started, man. I'm not going to take 100%. But I was in the lab when they was faking. Okay, I was there when they was faking.
So you up in Arkansas with the guys that you grew up with, and they're on the run to win a national championship, and so what are you doing there?
Right,
I'm there playing at the rec center with Mike Conley Sr. He's at the rec center playing ball with me, and we're crushing it every day. We're beating whoever comes in the gym. We're outrunning them.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
With Mike Conley Sr., we're outrunning them because he's a track star.
Right. So then you go to, from there, Arkansas, directly, you go to University of Louisiana, Monroe?
A kid comes into Arkansas on a transfer named Howard Nathan. He's the number one kid coming out of Illinois in 91. He goes to DePaul. And I played for Joy Meyer Senior, Junior, I think, for DePaul. And he stays there like 1 year, transfers to Arkansas. I meet the kid, Howard Nathan. He's a 6'2 guard. And the kid, I mean, he had everything. Handles, jump shot, the up and under. He could do it all as a guard, a point guard. And the kid later went to Northeast in Louisiana. Asked me to take him.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, I went down there with him, spent 6 months in Monroe, Louisiana with this kid, watched him train, watched him get better. And later, the next year, he got drafted by the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, Howard Nathan. Shout out to Howard Nathan.
Shout out to Howard Nathan. You know we got to shout him out.
You said it.
Listen, that leads me to this question right here. What's the best player you played against that didn't make it to the NBA?
Probably got to be Danny McMillan.
Okay.
This kid, I'm going to say Danny McMillan and Roland Ware.
Are they from Memphis?
My center. Yeah, from Memphis. Roland Ware was my center in high school. Went to Oklahoma after Billy King.
Okay.
And wow. Played for Oklahoma. He was a McDonald's All-American as well. Shout out to Roland Ware.
Okay.
My brother.
Roland Ware.
And he was 6'6", man, and he'd break the rim in practice.
Ooh, 6'6".
Big boy.
Yeah, big boy. He'd break the rim in practice.
All right,
and we call him Road Dogg. Shout out.
Why didn't he make it? So why didn't he make it?
Yeah, what happened to him?
Man, he played 2 or 3 years in Oklahoma. I think he got hurt, you know.
Injuries.
And, some injuries, man, because, like I said, he played with a lot of power and force.
All right. Now, we're gonna go with some bullet questions. I got my opinion on these last couple questions we got for you. We're gonna get you out of here on this. Here we go. Best player who died too soon. I want to start. Okay. I'm going to start with mine. I'm just going to – Len Bias.
That was mine.
Okay. Yeah.
That's mine.
Who else can you think of? Lynn
Bias, Reggie Lewis.
They predicted that he would have been just as good, if not better, than Jordan.
He was as good as Jordan in the
That's
ACC.
What I'm saying.
He was tough.
Well, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say Lynn Bias because I remember all the dynamics that led up to his death. I mean, he got drafted the whole day. I was going to a summer league game, you know, and back then, remember now, we watched the draft. And then we watch the guys, you know, we watch him come up on stage, put the hat on.
Right.
So we could see the visual of him that day.
Mm.
And he, like, died right in front of our eyes. So, you know, shout out to his family
wow,
and friends.
Wow,
he's playing bias for me, man.
That's got to be
you. Felt like I was there.
Wow.
What's your favorite NBA team?
Lakers all the way. Showtime.
Oh, well, you know what? I ain't mad at that.
Showtime Lakers.
But is it a certain year?
I mean,
Magic?
Just give me the Lakers, man. Well, Magic, I started with Magic, but I like the Shaq and Kobe years. I like the Kobe, the Saul years. Devin George, who won 3 straight, was a kid that we played with in Minnesota. We have raised them.
I remember
Randy
Devin George.
Carter and myself. Yeah, Devin George was 15, 16 years old. And shout out to Khalid El-Amin. He was one of those kids, too, that went on play to Connecticut, who was on TV last night. Shout out to you, too.
He was tough. Let me tell you, tell you a story. I was in Minnesota with Marcus at this time. We're playing pickup at Williams Arena. And Williams Arena is where the Gophers play. So we got it's Minnesota Gophers players and, you know, me, Marcus. And so Khalid El-Amin comes in. He's in high school, okay?
Yeah.
So one of the guards for Minnesota's talking smack. And so Khalid El-Amin comes in. We start playing. And this kid destroys everybody.
Wow.
He's in high school. I'm like, wow, this kid's in high school. Of course, he turns out to be, you know, one hell of a player.
Right.
Yeah.
I already know who you're going to say on this, the next one, your favorite player.
It's Magic and Kobe. You know, Kobe tragically left us. Shout out to Kobe Bryant.
Right.
But, you know, he's with us like that. But it's Magic Johnson, actually.
Who is the GOAT, LeBron or Jordan?
I mean, LeBron's the GOAT because he's the leading scorer.
Oh, Marcus.
He's the GOAT. I mean, you got
Marcus.
4 rings, 10 championships, 4 rings.
We Jordan fans. We Jordan fans
that's
over
Jordan
here.
For me, bro.
I ain't mad at you. But weigh up them 6 seasons when he lost. Put that on the scale, too.
Are we doing that?
I put
Marcus,
it all on there.
We doing that.
Take the ice off.
We doing that.
This is my opinion on this. LeBron from high school to now. There's no comparison on career. There's no comparison.
Yeah, no.
Oh, you mean between him and Jordan?
From him and Jordan. From high school, from when he started high school, freshman year, to right now, playing today, no person can compare to that.
Okay. Yeah.
But.
And listen.
When Jordan was the best.
Go ahead.
When Jordan was the best, during them years of the Bulls, when he won 6 championships, LeBron has never got to that level.
Facts.
Right. I'm totally agreeing with you. But like you said, let's look at the entire resume. Put it on the table. Don't just skip some pages. Open it up.
I got my Carolina stuff on now. You know, national championship. All-American.
I'm a Memphis State fan. I can't say nothing, but you can look at my folder. But it does match up to North Carolina.
It doesn't.
But it's okay.
All right. So I got Jordan, though, with the GOAT, bro. I got Jordan. Caitlin Clark or Cheryl Swoops? And take your time on this.
You got to with one pick, and you got one pick left, and it's Caitlin Clark and Cheryl Swoops on the sideline. Who you taking?
Who you got?
I don't know how Caitlin Clark went. How did she end up being the last person over here on the sideline? But I want her. I want her. Give me some extra seasoning and some extra sauce on it.
Over Swoops?
Over Swoops.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay. Best barbecue in Memphis. Who got the best barbecue in Memphis?
Cozy Corner
in Memphis.
Cozy Corner. Shout out to Cozy Corner right there on my neck.
Is it better than Central Barbecue? I like Central Barbecue.
I mean, maybe they need to have a lose or leave town match. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen. So what area is this Cozy? What's the name of it?
Cozy Corner.
What
North
area?
Memphis.
North Memphis.
And you got to say it like you live. You got to say Cozy.
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 Like you can't get up.
Oh, okay. I got it. I love eating places. Me and my wife like to go to places and just eat, man. Yeah. So, like, but Memphis kind of rough, though, Marcus. We can't.
Right. So this is what I'm going to tell you. If something happens and we can't get there, let me take care of it. I got it. I'm the best.
You got it?
You cooking the best barbecue.
I'm making the best.
You got the best.
I'm making the best. I'm doing the best everything.
Okay. We're going to get you out of here on this one. Elvis or B.B. King?
Elvis or B.B. King?
I got to go with B.B. King. Riley? King. I got to go with.
He said Riley.
Yeah, B.B. King, man. I mean, he's a guy like us. So many of us, people haven't heard of us. They don't know us. And because sometimes we get overshadowed. But doesn't mean the music doesn't sound good.
Hey, let me ask you this. Who would win a steel cage match between Ike Turner and Joe Jackson?
Man, you ever see how Ike slapped Tina? I'm going with Ike. I'm going with Ice.
But Joe Jackson got that strap.
He
now.
Got
Come
that
on,
strap,
now.
Though.
Yeah, but Joe, I mean, he
I
ain't
think
no
I
match,
could
right.
get him, bro. I think I could get him. Yeah.
You think I could get him?
Yeah, I think I could get him.
What about Draymond Green and Charles Oakley? Who can win that cage match?
I think Charles Oakley would take him out because he actually can fight.
Oakley can fight.
Oakley, yeah.
Yeah.
Oakley can fight. I mean, he didn't fight that night when he was in Madison Square on the ground, but I think Oakley can fight.
I think he can fight.
Yeah. Him and Metta World Peace was cool.
He was always fighting.
That dude was always fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Phil Jackson taught him how to read books. So, don't forget that. People don't know.
Oh my goodness!
You can learn how to read a book, man. You know.
So you watched the Hulu Freaknik documentary?
Of course.
Are you on there? Have you seen?
You know what? Let's just say I told my kids to leave the room.
That's right, Freaknik. That's right. No, yeah, you know what? We got some. Liz, who's your favorite wrestler?
My favorite wrestler is Jerry the King Lawler and Ric Flair.
Okay.
I mean,
I like that.
I love the Nature Boy. Don't get me wrong. Who doesn't? Limousine riding, high flying.
Come on now.
Come on, baby. Ooh,
and I'm having a hard time keeping these gators down. And I'm having a hard time keeping these.
So, you know, what else could you not like about that, you know? But Jerry Lawler was a hometown Memphis favorite, you know, like Jack Purtle Chicken, man. Finger licking all the way, Jerry Lawler.
Hey, who you got, Biden versus Trump? Who winning?
I'm going with Biden. I mean, there's no real choice, you know. You want cottage cheese or sour cream, I mean.
What would you do
your first week of president if you were president?
I let all the black people be white.
Oh, snap! Oh, my goodness!
They throw me right over.
It's over with, bro. That's the best answer I ever heard, bro. Hey, favorite Marvel superhero?
Superman.
Well, he's DC.
I love Superman.
He's DC.
Give me a Marvel. Mine is Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Oh, okay. Oh, Marvel?
Yeah,
okay, Marvel. Let's go with Iron Man as well.
There you go, Iron Man, bro.
Okay. I like the toys. I like
Come
all
on,
that.
Bro. Tony Stark you know. Is an OG, bro. He a pimp.
Yeah. And then they let the black dude be Iron Man for a couple of shows, too. So I really was liking
that. Yeah, John Cheadle.
Right.
Yeah, like if I was his friend or something, he told me, hey, Marcus, you know, can you do it for a minute? I'm busy, you know? And I'm like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Coach told me you was funny, bro. Hey,
so let me tell you, this is on and off the field, and we're talking about choices today. And what would you tell yourself 35 years ago?
I would say stay the course. Believe in yourself. You're more valuable than you would ever believe. Stay the course. Trust in yourself. And believe in yourself.
All right.
I think when you're young, sometimes being a juvenile, you got too many juvenile thoughts. And you're probably not thinking of the things that are really going to push you forward in life.
Wow. All right. What would you name your autobiography if you had the title and why?
I would name my autobiography Simply Memphis.
M-E-M-P-H-I-S,
Memphis. Making easy moves, playing hoops in style.
Wow.
Because that's how we live. That's how we did it. You know,
Making easy moves, playing hoops in style, Memphis.
In style.
I like that.
We wanted the Cadillacs. We wanted the fine cars. And, hey, you know, sometimes we wanted that quick money.
Right.
But all in all, it's one thing, you know. And,
So, in closing, if you've had your life and ups and downs and challenges, what message would you give the youth today to help them on their journey to help avoid the pitfalls that you've fallen for in the past?
I would really say, you know, believe in something other than yourself. Listen to your parents, the streets, things that involve other people, youngsters out here getting involved with on and off the court issues. I mean, things that can incarcerate them for years, things that can really change their life. They don't really know the impact.
That's right.
That
right.
Those things can play.
Right.
And sometimes you really don't think it's that big a deal, but it really is.
I just watched Dallas Carter, the movie Carter High School.
What is that on?
Yeah.
It's on Tubi.
Okay.
But it's the Rock is playing the coach. But it was in 1988. They won the state championship in Dallas, state football championship. And right after the championship, they had 18 players sign Division I scholarships. Mm. Six of them went on to make armed robberies.
Oh,
yes, wow. Six of them.
Wow.
This is what the judge said. They did more armed robberies than Bonnie and Clyde.
Wow.
They had just won a state championship.
I would definitely tell young people, any little trouble is big trouble.
Big trouble.
That's facts. That's right. Distractions, bro. It says it's a small fox that ruins the vine. So it's the small fox that ruins
that's
the vine.
Right. It sure can.
So true.
Listen, Mr. Marcus Thomas, man, you've been an awesome call-in guest, bro.
MT1083.
We appreciate it. Man, listen. I told you, you are Memphis, bro. That's the name of this one. This is the name of this segment. You are Memphis, man. We appreciate you, you know, for coming on with us, man, and taking the time out, brother.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, man, listen, anything else you want to say, Coach, before we turn Mr. Thomas loose?
Hey, here we go, Steeler Nation,
Steeler
baby.
Steeler Nation in the building. It's on and off the field. We got, you know, we got Coach over there with Steeler Nation. And once again, it's been Mr. Marcus. What's your nickname? What was your nickname, Mr. Marcus?
My nickname is MT1083.
MT1083. I like that. That's what you said when he came on.
Yeah.
See, I ain't know the lingo, bro. That's what's up, bro.
Yeah. Hey, I'm shaking and baking, rocking and rolling, moving and grooving.
We gonna let you go on that. Hey, we appreciate you, Marcus, man. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you.
Shout out to Marcus Houston, bro.
That was something, brother.
I mean, when you think,
and obviously he didn't go into specific detail. Obviously, we could have went and talked more about it. Yeah. But the thing is, you take he's with a group of all Americans,
right?
And he's one of the better of the group,
right?
And they all go on to play college basketball, have success, play in the NBA, have various careers, but. You know, he was the one that didn't make it.
Man, listen, I want to say this, man, in closing. Shout out to Memphis, bro. We want to give Memphis a shout. Cause
no doubt.
The talents, the gifts, the young men, you know, the future Hall of Famers that's coming up, man. We shouting y'all out
Hotbed of basketball.
Right, so we thank God for Memphis, bro. We pray for Memphis. Keep Memphis covered.
Absolutely.
And let them boys come out of there with their life and their talent, you know, and get their people out of the hood, man. So, this has been Memphis, bro, the story of Mr. Marcus Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Shout out. Listen, this has been On and Off the Field.
Yes, sir. This is Coach Boston. Rest assured. Here we go. Steeler Nation.
That's it. Steeler Nation, y'all. And listen, this your boy, Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Mr. Coach Reback, a.k.a. the football protege. We in here. Listen, thank y'all for tuning in. And we out of here.
Peace.
Yeah.